true, that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, recite you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting the passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
I just found out that, so I was staying at this woman's house. Her name is Katie. She has a second house, a cabin outside of her house. And when I left, I stayed there for 2 nights. When I left her house, I had realized that the 2 days I was there, I was putting garbage in her garbage can. And I realized, like, in the middle of day two, that there was no garbage bag in the garbage can. So I texted her and I said, hey, I'm really sorry. I realized I just cleaned up the house. I put everything back where it goes, but I left garbage in the garbage can with no bag. And just, I didn't know where to put it. There wasn't an outdoor garbage can. She was like, no worries. Like, I'll handle it. No big deal. So this is now like 2 days later from that. And I got a text from her saying, I just walked into the cabin and it was 80 degrees and smelled like a trash fire. And I said, oh my God, 80 degrees. I definitely didn't leave your heat at 80, but I did leave it at 74. And then she's like, oh, it's radiant heat. So if you leave radiant heat, which comes through the floors on, it just gets hotter and hotter because slowly it fills the space with heat.
Oh God.
So I guess it had gotten from 74 to 80. And then the trash that was in there without a bag, she just was telling me, it looks like everything in this trash can has melted. And she's like, did you vomit in the trash can? And I'm like, I really didn't vomit in the trash can. I am so sorry. I will pay for the heat, the trash can. I'll buy a new one. I'll come there and clean it. I'm out of town till Saturday, so I can't like run over there and help her. And I feel awful. Apparently, like, her parents, whose cabin it is, got notified far away in like Wyoming that the heat was so high. Somehow they got notified by the company or something.
Oh my God.
So I just have to say, when I left there, I texted her and told her about the garbage.
Yeah.
And I said, that's why I told you about the garbage. I was worried it would smell, but I did not leave your heat at 80, but I think it might've been the radiant heat. And I'm so sorry. And I've been just like apologizing and offering to pay for stuff and telling her I'll come by Saturday to clean it. And she's just not responding now.
Oh God.
So I feel fucking horrifyingly bad because I know she's standing there cleaning, I guess, melted garbage out of her garbage can. And this is like after, out of the generosity of her heart.
Yeah.
Letting me stay in her cabin.
It's
hard when like, you didn't intentionally do anything and you also like tried to stave it off a thing and it doesn't go well and someone else is upset. It's like, I feel like all I can do is apologize and commit and show up and pay for whatever needs to be paid for. But it's hard to just like have her angry at me. Ugh.
Yeah. When, nothing was done like actively shitty. It's just,
I wasn't even unconscious about it. I had let her know and her response was like, I hear you. It's just that I didn't think 2 days of garbage sitting there would make the entire house smell like I wanted to throw up when I walked in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh no, that's really bad.
Yeah. I feel like you've done all the due diligence though of like, all I can offer is apology and restitution. That is, you know, there's no more for you to do. Like, she can be upset, but it's not, you didn't actually do anything, quote, wrong, like ethically.
Yeah. Now I just feel like she may like hold it against me forever and kind of not trust me. And I'm like, oh, that's not what we want. But I think I'll get an opportunity when I'm back to like look her in the face and be like, let me clarify again. Here's what happened. And let me buy you a new garbage can and let me clean. I'll do a double cleaning. I don't know. Ugh.
I stayed at someone's house once. Again, they offered out of the goodness of their heart for me to stay there because there was a reason where I was.
Yeah.
And it was in dead of winter and it was in a wintertime place, you know? And when we left, I turned off the main heater in the main room because I thought, oh, I don't just leave heat on. Right. I don't know if it was on when I arrived or not. I just, you know, when we got there, I was like, oh, it's cold, so I'm going to adjust the heat. Maybe it was on low, whatever. When I left, it turned it off. That's it. That's,
yeah.
There were no instructions anywhere.
Right.
He got so upset because, like, you know, that can freeze the pipes if you da 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 da. There's a reason why I should have left it on. I didn't know that.
Right.
There's no reason that I would have known that.
No.
And instead of it being like you're saying, like, wow, I am upset and I have to, you know, because this is something bad could have happened. It didn't happen. A, nothing bad happened. But it became like a moral judgment of failure on me.
Right.
And like, I can never trust you again, da 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 da, all this thing. Luckily, there was a go-between of the person whose actual friend it was, da 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 da, and they took the brunt of it. And ultimately, that person came back and was like, I lost my damn mind for a minute.
Okay. And
I'm really sorry.
Cool.
But it was, so yeah. So the point is, like, she's going to have her, she might be having a reaction.
Yeah.
And hopefully she's the type of person who needs to have her reaction and then later on go, oh, that you didn't deserve that reaction.
I don't know. I've gotten to know her a little bit and I hope so. It seems like sometimes maybe it's the heat remains.
Well, but, yeah, there's going to be that granular, like, well, you're probably not going to stay at her house again.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is it. We're talking. Right. This is.
Yep.
This is it. We're in.
Yep.
Yeah. I have 5 different topics we could talk about if
Bring
you
it.
Want today.
Bring it.
There's so many things going on in my head right now.
And I'm ready.
Where you're at. So, all right. I'll fill in the holes. I'll fill in your holes. But I didn't need to say that. But I did because we're us. Poop. Okay. So one is for like weeks, I've been wanting to have an episode where we talked about like creative future, like what, how to engage with our creativity in, or like I, for myself personally, like the, you know, the, what does the future look like as a creative, as a career, as a creative, like.
You mean as an actor because of COVID?
Yeah, partially. I feel like I've shifted my relationship to the whole thing a little bit. And I'm like, well, what am I doing? Where should I be putting my soul?
Mm.
And maybe it's still acting and that's fine. But, you know, what does that look like? That's thing one. Thing two, creative versus interpretive as a discussion. Like, I actually don't know that I'm a creator.
Mm.
I've been an interpreter for so long.
I got you.
And three has to do with what happened yesterday with the world. And, you know,
yeah.
And in particular, this one person who is on a lot of the pictures, the guy with the crazy horns and the fur hat and the shirtless tattooed.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, it's crazy. Wonderful. And we can totally talk about him and I'll tell you why. So those are 3 topics. Would you like to launch into any one of those 3 topics, Katie?
I'm going to have to pause this for just a second and respond to her. I'm really sorry.
All right. We'll keep recording, but we'll cut out this moment.
Yep. Give me 2 seconds. Okay. All right. Wow.
You okay?
Let me just... I'm just going to read this. Let's let this be totally part of the whole episode.
Do we want it to be included? Because this is publicing someone else's reality. And sometimes we regret that choice.
I know, but she didn't do anything wrong.
Oh, okay. This is more about you and your pride. Okay, great.
I'm just a lady who left a trash fire in someone's house.
Got it.
Okay. Okay. All right. Oh, God. She said, I took the trash bin out and it's soaking in my shower. But this whole house smells like dead animals. I don't know what to do. I emptied that trash and it didn't seem like anything that would be so gross, but I've never smelled anything like that. And I wrote, did you see if the toilet wound up flushing or not? Because there was some problems with her plumbing. Okay. And her response was, she said, it seems like the window opening is working. And I said, are you okay with me coming over Saturday when I'm back in town and doing a deep clean and leaving some cash for your lost time and the heat cost? She said, I'm not worried about the cost. the people who own the house are just really sensitive about their house. So I try to be really careful with it. And I said, of course. And you mentioned that to me and I tried, but clearly failed. So I want to help however I can. Please let me know what I can do. She says, my sister is going to clean it anyway. I'm over being mad about it, but I'm just shocked at how a trash can could get that disgusting.
Yeah.
And I'm going to write, so am I. I'm racking my brain to figure out what I threw away in there that could have possibly been so terrible.
Turned into toxic sludge. Well, good. I mean, it sounds like she's just communicating with you and you're both sort of sharing the shock.
Yeah, maybe. Okay. So, I feel like she says, I mean, it wasn't like there was compost in there. Nope. I feel like we're going to need to talk about why I was at her house.
Okay.
And then I think that might lead us into any number of your topics. We won't spend the whole time talking about it, but I've realized that for the sake of other people who might be listening, I think people need to hear the actions that are being taken and what's happening. Because I've realized at the end of this or in the wherever I am in the process that the actions I'm taking are going to potentially help future women, mm-hmm. not just myself. And so it feels kind of important to discuss while at the same time, it makes me feel anxious and terrified because anything to do with this event makes me feel scared. But I feel like fear and what we do with it are good things to talk about. And they relate back to your third topic pretty well. How does that sound to you?
That sounds great to me. I want to follow your lead on this completely because it really is all about like what you're willing, what you feel okay with sort of bringing back out into the light.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there are, you know, compelling reasons on either side of that.
What are the reasons on the side of not? Can you share what your thoughts are on that?
Oh, for you, I mean, just what you had said before, like paying attention, giving this person attention. Making him important publicly is exactly what you were saying you're sort of not wanting to do.
Yeah, mostly out of like, I don't want, okay, I think I know how to do it.
Right.
Okay, just, we're not gonna, in brief, I have been being harassed and what I would call stalked. A man came to my house after I very clearly said we're done talking. Endless texts, endless phone calls, endless Marco Polos, endless Facebook messages for 15 days in a terrifying way that led me to go to the police and get a restraining order. That restraining order has been served. The texts have stopped for now, and we're all hoping that they've stopped for good. The restraining order says if this person contacts me in any way at all, I get to tell the police, and then the police will put a warrant out for that person's arrest. Additionally, there's a police report that will be completed this week that means charges will be filed for sure, which is feels terrifying to me because sometimes when people get charges filed against them, they go crazy again.
Right.
So, but what I want to talk about is not the individual involved, but is how in talking with my female friends about this and getting a lot of support from a lot of people, including the police, which thank God for them, feels nice right now politically even to be able to say like the police did a thing that wasn't terrible. Yeah. Like they've actually helped me. Anyway, in talking with female friends about it and getting a lot of support, like there are like 30 people in this town now who know what has happened, who have the individual's contact information and picture. So like, should anyone see him, it's a lot of people know, like he's not gonna be able to hide. The neighbors are watching for him, everybody knows. So it's like, I'm feeling supported. And in talking with people about it, something that keeps coming up is we all keep talking about the thing of, imagine if I were like a working mother, like a low paid, you know, maybe undereducated mom of three. And I don't know how to like advocate for myself. Like I had to call four different sheriff's departments, four different ones, and like relentlessly call so that they would respond to me and get the restraining order served. It was actually very difficult and took 8 hours and a lot of paperwork and phone calls and emails and so on. And we were just thinking, everybody I talked to is thinking about like, what if you just like weren't raised with a pushy Jewish dad? so that you learn, you get to call and you get to push people to protect you.
And if you didn't have the space and time to pursue 8 hours worth of phone calls.
If I had kids, if I had a job that I had to go to that wasn't paying me enough anyway, like there's no way I could have done all this. And so that's fucked about the system. And then the sheer fact of there's so much fear in my body around taking action because I know how crazy people, when people are super activated and you take and you set a boundary, like getting charges pressed against them and getting a restraining order against them, they freak out or they can freak out and get worse. So everything in my body says, never mind. I'm not going to press charges. I'll just back up. I don't, nope, I'm out. This isn't happening. But I know better. And I feel for the sake of any women in this person's future that would be harassed by the person, I have to press charges. I have to finish the police report so the charges get pressed. And in talking to my therapist and in talking to other women that have been through stuff like this, they're all like, you're doing a service to the community by following through with that. But it's, I can 100% understand now why women, when people do that thing where they're like, why didn't she let someone know? Why didn't she call the police? Sometimes it's because you're afraid for your life, that if you let someone know or call the police, I'm presently afraid for my life. I'm literally in another state hiding because of how afraid I am. And I'm going to do it anyway. And I'm not comfortable about it. I don't feel comfortable on any levels. I don't know.
Yeah. And it's the catch 22 of like the very thing that like you must do to stop the behavior is the thing that you're afraid will activate the behavior. So you're caught between, and that's what is relied on in, you know, in anything, even in so many things, in politics, in social situations, in, you know, employment. It's like that's what is relied on is that you're afraid to piss off the person that is abusing you or dominating you or oppressing you.
Yeah. And I am conflicted about it because a part of me, like something my therapist has been working with me on is like, she'll remind me that in certain cases, like she's like, you know, you don't have to be the one who points things out to people all the time. Like you could just, if you feel safer for yourself, not doing the police report, you're allowed to make that choice because if that's safer for you, do that. And then I'm like, I can't figure out actually what would be safer long-term, fill it out or don't fill it out, because he's going to get charged with two things. So am I safer having that protection in place or is he going to react? I don't know. And if I don't put the protection in place, am I safer because he won't react? Or does not having it there mean that in 2 weeks he comes right back around and starts doing the same shit again? I have no fucking idea.
Right. You don't have control over what he does or says.
And in this case, that means that has to do with my physical safety. My lack of control has to do with my physical safety. I've been literally having thoughts like, maybe I'll have to move
again. Yeah.
Jesus. Like maybe I pack all my things and, or just leave and move and don't tell anyone where, and then hire a truck to come get my shit and like renege on my rent and just be fucked on a number of levels. I have no idea what that would look like. I'm praying and hoping that because the restraining order is in place, there will be no more contact, but I don't know. I don't know.
And then at what point do you feel safe again? If the contact just ends, when will you go, okay, I guess it's over? Like, will you know that?
Nope. And also like there's a hearing coming up to determine if the short-term restraining order becomes a long-term one. And we both have to be at that hearing. And my therapist said, it is like a travesty that you have to look at his face ever again. Yeah. And I'm like, that's how I feel. I shouldn't have to face this dude and call him out on his stuff to a judge while he's there watching. Anyway, I've had a lot of peace getting out of the state. And I've had a lot of peace since the restraining order is in place. And since he stopped contacting me, I think I'm going to go through a lot of anxiety when the hearing happens and when the police report gets filed. And that's all I know. And that anxiety topic, I mean, it makes me think of the thing you were talking about. I mean, the Washington situation, which...
Yeah, well...
The world doesn't know what's going to happen right now. The world is anxious about this, these events that are violent and invasive, just like this was with me, and terrifying. And are we safe? We don't know.
Right. And are we, are we afraid to speak up because we don't want to reactivate the fucking, no, I take the lesson of what you're saying is like, no, actually the only choice is to push forward with speaking up. It becomes the only choice in this moment.
Oh, for me, I think so. What do we know about, what do you guys know about what happened in Washington in terms of who masterminded and like what is being done about it? Do we know anything about what's being done?
I mean, what I know is knowing is a fungible word, but I'll go with what I seem to be aware of is I don't actually think there was a lot of masterminding going on. I think there was a lot of let's go to the Capitol because this demagogue is yelling chaotic things that don't have a really clear point to them. Except, you know, you stole the election. What do we do with that information? We go, because this is my short version. Then what happens is a whole bunch of people show up to a demonstration with quotes. Then they they sort of storm the barricades, but also the barricades get moved. There's like, go ahead, go on in. We saw a lot of that where they just let them in. Like in some locations, there was tear gas and pushback and violence. And in some locations, there was just like, yeah, fuck it, go ahead. And you see cops literally just like chilling, literally leaning against a wall while these guys are going.
Wow.
Storming into there's pictures of that. And then once they get there, though, you know, there's implied violence. There's, you know, I got into Nancy Pelosi's office and took a piece of paper or I broke this nameplate or I took this flag. But then there's the moment of, okay, we scared everybody and we got in. I guess we'll go now. And then they're let go. They're allowed to walk out without being arrested, which is also insane. I mean, there's a whole other conversation, but nothing actually happens as a result in terms of politically.
Is that because the people who are still running the building are Trump people?
That's the conversation. The meme joke I saw was y'all asking why they didn't do anything. Why the cops were so easy on him, but you don't ask where Miley Cyrus is when Hannah Montana's on stage.
You don't ask where Miley Cyrus
is when Hannah Montana's on stage because they're the same person. That's the joke.
Yeah, that's funny.
And so, you know, there's a whole level of that conversation that I don't have enough astuteness to even enter into. There's the conversation about obviously what would have happened had these been any other non-white people or any other even like people with a different agenda. You know, as we saw last, you know, in DC, phalanxes of cops lining, they couldn't even get one step forward because of, you know, at the BLM protest, because there were cops were ready in full riot gear already, whereas the setup you saw here was like the guys in their yellow windbreakers. The cops were in their yellow windbreakers to start. There wasn't riot gear out. There was no people. There were no lines of guards.
Yeah. So here's an interesting thing. I was talking to a girlfriend of mine today about this, and she was saying she was having a hard time with how people are characterizing the people who stormed the place. She's like, because I know some Trump supporters who are wonderful, loving people, and that their reasons for supporting him are actually things she can get behind. And this is like a person I really like and has a lot of kind of liberal, you know, progressive ideas about life, but also has a lot of like sympathy for that side of things. And it was interesting to me to hear her say, she was like really sad because she said it was painful to hear how people are just talking about the people that stormed the place as if they know why they did it and as if they know blah, blah, blah. And I can actually understand that point of view in terms of we don't actually know what the thinking is of any given individual or group or why or whatever until somebody speaks up for it. But at the same time, to me, that's not the issue. The issue is the behavior, the violence,
exactly.
And the invasion, which is the same thing as it would be like if I were to say about this person who's been endlessly calling, texting, and showing up at my house in a scary, scary, mean, ugly way. Well, you know, we don't know where he's coming from or why, so we can't say anything about him. It's like, it's not about where he's coming from. It's
what
about
you fucking did.
What he fucking did, which was relentless crossing of boundaries that were clearly set and asked to not be crossed.
Exactly.
So
the law is clear. The rules are clear. Everything is clear. Regardless of if you feel disenfranchised and that yeah. I should have sympathy for you in your disenfranchisement, that's fine. But actually, I don't totally agree that you have that, oh, well, then you don't know what's going on for them. I do know that they are supporting a person who, regardless of your reason for supporting him, has clearly identified himself as a racist demagogue. Not just racist, a misogynist, racist, violent demagogue.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
All your reasons are moot.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I will address your disenfranchisement because guess what? Me too. Guess
yeah.
what? All of us. But you're wrong for your actions and your motivation is wrong. Like I actually do have a right wrong here.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, maybe I'm being black white here, but I do think you're wrong. Like, but I think you're right, but you're, I think that goes to your point, though, which is your behavior makes it. Your behavior, your actions declare your position.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think we all can, I thought we all as humans could agree that violence, egregious, we don't storm the castle anymore. We don't storm the castle. Like we're not in medieval fucking battle zone in America. We have like policies and like, anyway.
Right.
Clearly I'm in a bubble of delusion because apparently we are storming the castle. So the conversation that needs to be had is way more something than I knew.
Yeah.
Since it's a fucking spiritual podcast, let's go ahead and examine this through a spiritual lens for a second. Okay. There's so much to this. Spiritual people are often, and by the way, spiritual people, right? What the fuck does that mean? That's like a big blanket, whatever the fuck.
I'll put a thumbtack in that because this is to my point of this one individual who's been plastered all over.
Tell me that first.
Okay, let's get into that because that might actually address it very well.
Tell me.
Okay, so this one guy, you'll see him in all the pictures. He's got like horns, like a horn hat, like Viking helmet horn hat, and like a fur. He looks like he's trying to be like Buffalo Man, you know, like he's got a long like fur hat that looks sort of like a buffalo cowl, and he's got tattoos, and he's shirtless, and he's got like a flag face paint on his face and he looks insane and crazy. He's okay. Also kind of hot, like he's got a nice body, whatever.
Okay.
Okay. So you're like, ooh, what's this guy's story? And then people can find people right away. There's pictures of him at like QAnon things. There's even pictures of him at BLM, which is confusing. And you can't tell what he's doing there with like, is he supporting or is he against? But he's definitely been it. So he's a person who's trying to get attention, clearly.
Okay.
He's like,
okay.
I get involved. And like, I've seen some of his postings. People have found him and like shown his postings of like, he's deep in QAnon. He's deep, deep okay. in the QAnon world. So that
like meaning.
Yeah, he believes it and repeats it and engages in it and okay. holds up signs, you know, about QAnon. Q sent me at, you know, things like that.
Wait. But is he on the side of QAnon or against?
Yes, he's in. It seems like he's in. Yeah. He believes QAnon and goes with that reality.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's okay. So that's information. Okay. Then we find out that he has a page on like backstage.com and he's an actor.
Oh, God.
And I don't mean like he's an actor playing a role here. I mean, that's one of the things he does. It's going to get worse, Katie. You're going to hate the next part. So he's an actor.
And he's a super healer. He's a
healer.
Yeah.
He is a shaman. He's a shamanic healer. And I have a description of his services.
Oh, I'm ready. God damn it.
Yes. And unfortunately, it sounds an awful, it's going to sound real familiar, a lot of his language.
Oh, no.
So this is where, at first, okay, here was my thought, Katie. First off, I was like, oh, God, I got to bring this up with Katie, but I don't want it to seem like I'm saying, defend being a spiritual healer. Of course I'm not saying that.
No.
But also, he's an actor. So I'm like, oh, guess what? He's in all of our camp.
Yeah.
And he's not. Also, he is in the opposite. He's as far from our camp as he can get. There he is, Katie.
Ooh, I'd hire him to play a maniac.
Exactly. He's an Arizona-based actor, voiceover, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
But here we go. I'm going to sort of zip through. So this is someone cut and paste from from one of his profiles or listings.
All right.
I am a shamanic practitioner and energetic healer. I've been on the shamanic path for over a decade and have numerous different capabilities and gifts at my disposal. Talks about how he doesn't want to charge for his services, but he does. He has a very reasonable fee of $33.33 an hour.
Oh, boy.
Blah, blah, blah. And then here's a list of some of the things he can do. Basic ascension reading, reading using cards, runes, I Ching, intuitive wisdom, and other shamanic techniques. Energetic healing through the use of higher dimensional energy, neuro-linguistic programming, reprogramming, and syntactical affirmations help you detach from the negative behavioral patterns and untangle emotional knots.
Yeah.
And remove implants from your electromagnetic field.
Yeah.
Give you the proper light codes to keep your EM field in a harmonic balance well after the session is over.
Yep.
Harmonic repatterning, karmic repatterning through the use of higher dimensional gateways, stargates, you'll be taken on a journey. You recognize all this information.
There's a bridge nearby. I'm going to go jump off it.
Yeah. You don't want to be in the same world as this guy.
I think, actually, you know what? Closer than that, there's a fork in the kitchen. I'm just going to shove it right through my eye. Today's the day. Today's the day.
So this motherfucker, but this goes to our conversation about healers and trauma and where people come from. Also actors and trauma and where people come from.
Yeah.
So this guy's acting out in all the ways.
Yeah.
But what's scary is to think that someone of this, I don't fucking know him, but he has publicly shown himself in too many places for me not to have formed a judgment about his character.
Quick question. So he showed up at this Washington thing?
He was in the middle of the motherfucker. He's one of the guys like breaking in and grabbing a flag and running with it. And
it sounds like he's a conservative actor, healer, maniac.
Yeah.
QAnon believer, conservative. Question.
Well, conservative is even now at this point a confusing phrase because there's another one of our people that I know follows our work, and I'm having maybe whatever she can have her own opinion. I recently was like, oh, look, there she is on Facebook, full blown MAGA, QAnon, also all the things, just like this guy, and also. What we need is love and light. What we need is love and light. Love.
I'm confused. How is love and light MAGA? How is love and light QAnon?
So the problem that I think we are running up against is, it paints the brush. Unfortunately, it splashes over onto you as a spiritual healer, as someone who engages in things that people. Can't really recognize in the rational world necessarily yet that seem to some people to be outside the rational realm and seem a little crazy.
Yeah.
And that, I could see absolutely someone going, I'm grabbing that and I'm grabbing this. You know, they're sucking the blood of children in a pizza parlor, and we need to bring the star beings to stop them.
Okay, that's fair. That makes, I hear the reasoning. Now I'm with you.
Yeah.
Boy, that's unfortunate, isn't
it? It's really a bummer. And so I felt like maybe it's appropriate to bring up. It's a guy. And then also, this guy's in my world, you know, a world which needs a lot of viewing right now. Like, we're doing a lot of like, hey, let's look at how fucked up the acting world is.
Well, I mean, fuck yeah. Look, so. I don't feel an ounce or a modicum or a cell of defensiveness.
Yeah,
or
I know.
Because I mean, I know who I am and I know what my intentions are and I'm whatever. But it's like, well, you and I have talked about this forever, right? You and I, like, just in our friendship for before the podcast, like, we've talked so much about how all the stupid shit about spirituality gives actual spiritual people a bad name.
Yeah.
And here's another way to, this is an interesting sort of spin-off from that idea, which is to say that, I don't know if I even told either of you this. I can't remember who I've told what. It's been such a crazy couple weeks, but I'm like, should I say this out loud? I think so. I decided on a whim to apply to the Harvard Divinity School. And is that fun? You're laughing.
Laughing at that because you're like, let me take on another crazy, huge, massive adjustment in life.
Yeah, that's funny. Right. Yeah. Well, I don't have a whole lot of hope that I'll get in. I don't know. Everyone who knows me is like, why wouldn't you get in? You're the right person for that. And I'm like, I don't know. Here's why I don't know. Because what I'm coming to them with is like, I've been a working professional mystic and energy healer for 20 years or 50, whatever years it's been. And that's a thing that academics, you know, theologians theorize about being maybe real.
Think they theorize it in the abstract and in the past? Like, they would look at, you know, the Catholic mystic of the 12th century. That's interesting to look at. But I've never heard of any current academic talking about that in the mystics in the present tense.
Right. Like, Harvard theology department professors, I don't know that they're going to star being circles. So,
the point is, with basically the Abrahamic religions in their functional form. And that's about it.
And I straight up in my application, I have to just say, let's just for a second acknowledge, I'm very proud of myself. It took 3 or 4 weeks of working on the personal statement, the like, you know, why should you pick me statement or whatever that is.
In the midst of a stalking trauma.
In the midst of a stalking trauma, no joke. A lot of weeks and a lot of hours of framing my personal experience in a way that I hope adds up to, I think I'd be great at this and I hope you consider me. But because what I'd actually like to do with the degree is teach at the secondary college level. I'd like to teach in universities on the topic of mysticism, ontological thinking, and consciousness. And I'd like to teach on those topics from literally the framework of whatever they make me read there. Like, and the cool thing about this program is you get to kind of choose a focus that is of your own choosing within the context of the big broad brush of theology. And theology has to do with religion. And I'm not really that interested in religion. I'm interested in the mystical practices within the religions. So I come right out in the application and say, that's what I'm proposing my focus to be. Here's all my life experience so far, and here's where I'm looking to go next. I really think this is the right program to take me to that next place. So I feel really proud of like having accomplished just filling out the application.
Is this like an MDiv program or a PhD program? Or
so they have an MDiv, Masters of Divinity, but this is, I didn't do that when I applied for the Masters of Theology because it's 2 years and it's mostly for people. The MDiv is if you want to become like in the clergy in some way or a preacher or whatever. And I'm more interested in secondary education, like teaching adults. Here's what Joan of Arc really was doing.
And would you have to go to Harvard or is this a distance program?
It's online right now because of COVID.
Because everything is anyway. So
I know, but you know, I actually would prefer to go there. I want to to go to fucking Cambridge? Yeah. Fuck yeah. Harvard? Yeah. Let's go hang out there for 2 years. Sure.
I keep trying to visit you where you are and then you keep leaving.
I know. It's terrible. Well, I don't get to go. So it's a moot point.
Right.
I don't.
At least for another year. Right. Yeah.
It's on. Anyway, I won't find out until March if I got in. But the reason I brought this up was on the topic of, you know, on one level, I seem like the perfect person for that program. But if you're coming from uber rationalism, as some academics are, I'm like the last person you let in because I could just be a crazy star being weirdo. Right.
Right. Like our friend in the Capitol.
Yeah. Like, and yeah, if it's, I mean, unless you've had any direct spiritual or mystical experience yourself, which theoretically anyone in a theology department must have had some, but maybe not. So if you've had any of that, you can believe what I do as a thing. But if you haven't, then it's a lot of people just totally write it off and can't get on board and don't get it and so on and so forth. So we'll see how that plays out. And then there's the issue of like, if I did get in, how do I run my complicated business that I already run? I'm moving my chair because the light is so bad. And like take a 2-year program and read all those books and go to online classes. I don't know. I don't know. But we'll see if they even give me the option to consider doing so. So did we cover topic 3 to your satisfaction? Is there
I just wanted to bring it up and I don't think we have an answer for it. It's more just the idea of like that we are in a world in which we assume a set of, well, I think this is what it is. It's like we might assume a set of information based on something like, you're a spiritual healer. So you have liberal progressive values. Oh, but if you add on top of that, a sprinkling of deep paranoia and then one particular tick that takes you, I don't trust those guys, I trust those guys instead, then suddenly you've gone down this whole other world and you're advocating for the extermination of a particular type of person or something like that.
Right.
Like it's...
We can't assume anything about any belief, meaning the other belief exists. 100%. That was it on here that I was saying a while ago that I kept, for a while I was on Facebook going, wait a minute, like really feeling really confused about, am I listening to a liberal nut job or a conservative nut job? I can't tell anymore.
I always think about it as sort of, it comes around the backside and meets, you know, with the sort of, you know, super radical libertarian.
Yeah.
Black helicopter paranoid looks an awful lot like the super left wing anti police state paranoia.
Yeah.
They both honestly do have
points.
They have foundations in reality. Like we are watched too much by the NSA, and both the libertarians and the anarchists really hate that.
Yeah, right.
You know, left and right meet around the backside in a lot of ways. And it's like but then at some point you grab onto a piece of information and just run with it. And I think QAnon is just such a perfect example of that. Or it's where you put your faith and then you just cling to that.
Yeah.
You know, Trump says they stole the election. Okay, what's your proof? Me saying it. Well, now a lot of people are saying it. So now I'm going to point to that as the proof that it's true because a lot of people are saying it.
Right. Can we clarify real quick, when we say, okay, I need a little more information about QAnon, because we're saying the phrase QAnon as if we all know what we mean by that. And
here's what I know.
Okay.
QAnon started, there's actually a humorous online message board thing that people would do for a little while where they would make up crazy conspiracies.
Yeah.
And see if they could top each other. And they all had different blank anons. Anon. And they were very obviously a joke. This was some years ago. And one of them, calling himself QAnon, started putting these drops into this sort of, I don't know if it was Reddit or if it was even on more like 4chan or 2chan or one of those those boards, which are a little more disgusting and horrifying versions of Reddit. But he started doing drops and calling himself QAnon because he had Q-level clearance within the government, whatever that means, with what he was claiming.
Okay.
And they were outlandish. And I, from what I gather, having listened to some of the like theoretical origins of QAnon, because no one actually still knows who this person is, but they've done some investigation and people are like, ooh, I think it might be this guy that he's not actually, you know, or at least this is the guy responsible for propagating them.
Okay.
But it's like, well, let me try this. Let's see if you got, oh shit, people are still listening. Okay. How about if I say this?
Okay.
And then it at some point gains enough, I don't even want to call it legitimacy, but gains enough
momentum
that then the movement itself becomes its own subculture. And we know nothing about the person who's actually making what they call the drops, but we know a lot about the people who have gathered around it and like meet and trade information and like try, they'll take like a piece of it and say, oh, the way he phrased that, that means he's winking at us saying, you know, if he said, you know, the elephant in the room is, oh, elephant, that means Africa. And he's talking about the Africans or whatever. Like they.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Just because I'm getting it now. But, and the thing with the pizza parlor and the babies, how is that connected to
this? So one of the pieces of QAnon is Pizzagate. And it has to, I mean, the primary sort of thrust of QAnon is that there is a secret cabal of, I don't want to say Democrats, like, but like
tweets,
of people like the Clintons and
Bill Gates
and maybe Bill Gates and George Soros and a bunch of other powerful non-right-wingers. I don't even want to say Democrats necessarily, that are a cabal that literally kidnap children, extract their essence, suck their blood, eat their children, rape the children.
They're adrenochrome.
They're adrenochrome, and also they are molesting them. Like they're both molesting them and extracting their adrenochrome. And some of it has to do with the basement of a pizza parlor that happened. I don't quite get this one, except that I also know that that pizza parlor doesn't actually have a basement. So that is hilarious in and of itself.
Right.
So that's
now.
And so everything sort of circles around. Oh, and that Trump specifically is part of the in the know group of people who are directly placed to battle them, to battle the bad guys here.
To take down the bad guys.
To take down the Clinton cabal.
So for them, it's quite possible that, well, so then the theory, okay, so then it must be the theory from some people that QAnon was invented by Trump so that Trump could create a thing that he's fighting against.
No, I haven't heard that. I don't think he's that. I think QAnon was created by some fucking troll.
Some guy.
Just blew up.
Okay. Okay.
And like, now he's I think it's more like, you know, Heath Ledger's Joker. This is the type of guy who just wants to keep watching the world burn.
Like PewDiePie.
Yeah, it's a PewDiePie situation, but deeper than that. Yeah.
I see. So when people say they are with QAnon, this guy with the horns, the naked actor, what does with QAnon mean? It means they believe what Q says, the guy?
Yes, the Q who's making these drops of information is trying to take down this evil cabal. So if you're with Q, it means you're joining the battle to save the children from the molester adrenochrome suckers who are the Clintons. So if you're with Q, you believe everything that Q says, you know that he's out here to save the world and that Trump is part of that army.
Okay, so Trump is out to save the world because he's with Q.
Right.
And okay.
We do have at least now one elected state level, federal level. I think she's a representative who is a avowed Q follower and got elected to Congress in this last election.
Fantastic. Now, here's the question. So I lost my train of thought. Wait, Trump, Q, QAnon, you know how Armchair Expert has Armchaired and Dangerous, right? And we've been talking about it, right, Des?
Yeah.
You haven't listened to it yet, Cass, but it's this, do you remember the guy's name, Des, the guy, the Kiwi guy? No, okay. Anyway, there's a Kiwi guy, a guy from, not Australia, the other place, New Zealand, who is a real conspiracy theory interested guy. In fact, he made a documentary that I watched this year that was really, really great about, oh, God damn it. I can't think of that other guy's name who was doing creepy shit. I think Dez is pulling the name up right now. But anyway, this guy paired up with Dax Shepard and Monica Padman to make a spinoff of Armchair Expert called Armchaired and Dangerous, where they, the three of them, talk about conspiracy theories and break down exactly why and how they, their logic fails.
Right.
David Ferrier.
Yeah, David Ferrier. And what's the, Dez, do you have the name of the documentary that was on Netflix that he made?
I don't. I'll look that up too.
Okay. Because I'd love to mention it right now. It's a great documentary. It should be easy to find. Anyway, so David Ferrier, Dax Shepard, and Monica Padman do like every fifth episode or something of Armchair Expert is an Armchair and Dangerous. And one of the things they were talking about in one of the ones I listened to was how, why, let's, and Bill Gates, I'm pretty sure, is considered to be part of the elites who are sucking the adrenochrome of children and raping them. Why? If you're Bill Gates, and let's say adrenochrome is a real thing, and adrenochrome can help your body in some way, Bill Gates has all of the dollar bills. Why wouldn't Bill Gates just buy a child and suck their adrenaline? Why wouldn't he? There's a million ways for the richest man in the world to like get baby blood without having to rape and murder babies. He could just pay people for it.
Be part of a cabal that's going to get in a pizza parlor.
And the level of his rationality, when you listen to Bill Gates talk, he's a fucking very rational gentleman. It's so crazy. And I've heard Bill Gates interviewed on his podcast with Rashida Jones responding to these questions. And he's just like, oh, right. They're saying that, huh? I don't know what, it's so crazy. I don't know what to say. Like it's, anyway. Right. But do you see the logic of like, if you have that money and that power, you don't need to be in a cabal of murdering.
No.
What is the logic that would even support that idea?
Everybody wants to be on a team.
Even Bill.
I don't suppose we found the name of that documentary.
I'm not sure which one it is. Tickled?
Yes.
Oh, okay. My God. I've been wanting to see Tickled.
You got to see
it. Because I've just heard crazy things about it.
Oh, you got to see it. You got to see it.
You saw it?
I saw it. I'll give you the gist without ruining anything. David Ferrier stumbles upon this subculture on the internet of male tickle parties where dudes are tickling each other.
Like, but they're not gay. We're not gay.
Not gay. Holding each other down and in a not gay way, nakedly tickling each other. And then he follows the rabbit hole down of like, who's actually making these videos? And it turns into a crazy manhunt. And that's all I'll say. But it is, and I give David Ferrier so much credit. He just pursues this shit to the end of the earth. And I don't know. I'm just enjoying those guys talking about the craziness of conspiracy, certain conspiracy theories that when you look at, if you just tease it apart a tiny bit, if you use the tiniest bit of logic to tease apart what the fabric of what holds together the theories, they fall apart immediately.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and you know what helps me? Sorry to jump back in, but I watch all the conspiracy shit. And when you watch it all falls apart. If you just pull on one thread and only follow that line of logic, you'll try to, it'll be easy to convince yourself that it's true with all these pieces of breadcrumbs going the same way. But when you watch them all, you're like, this is, these people are just, it's just a shotgun blast. And yeah, you know what? One of the dumb documentaries I just watched is probably true, but the other 99 are just madness.
Right. You know? I mean, all a conspiracy is more than one person deciding to do something. That's it. So like, the problem with the whole concept of conspiracy theory is it's both a way of dismissing true conspiracy.
Yeah.
And it's the same problem that we're having with the spiritual shaman dude. It's like the batshit that isn't true pulls in the stuff that actually is valid and needs to be looked at and sort of covers it up, because you pile on enough bullshit, then the thing that's real is in that same pile of bullshit.
Yeah.
And you can't see it because we've got, you know, that there is, you know, we talk about like, oh, the deep state and the shadow government. Well, yeah, there is a an intelligence operation within our government that does shit that we probably don't approve of and don't like. That's true.
Yeah.
But then we blow that up to this whole other thing that isn't true and is insane or the, you know.
Yeah. You know, another thing that they were talking about on that podcast is they talked about the notion that folks who feel on the outside of society or not included or disenfranchised tend to be the people who are more open to kind of buying into the more outlandish of the conspiracy theories.
Uh-huh.
Like linking the idea of feeling like an outsider to being willing to buy into stuff like this. And that's something I wanted to talk about because I can relate to that in a way where there, you know, look, we had a guy on our podcast who's met lizard people, right? And who legit like alien ships landed and he looked at them. Like, I know that aliens are real. I know it. I just talk to them. I see them. It's real. It's not a question for me. And I'm not 100% convinced there aren't lizard people. One of my dearest friends is like constantly in her healing business, clearing reptilian energy because it comes up all the time. So it's like, it is out there. That is out there. I know that that's out there. My trouble is that I've seen it with my eyes. So I can't.
You can't dismiss it.
It is to me. But
And then it's like, well, where does that lead you? And like, what castle do you build as a result of that? That is where things get hinky.
I think you're right on target there because I think for me, there's no castle to build. It's just, it'd be like saying this water bottle is in my hand. Therefore, water is trying to kill us. Water is involved in a deep conspiracy because this water bottle wasn't in my hand a minute ago. It's like a weird leap to go from there's a water bottle and now this other thing. Because for me, I've made the weirdest leaps you can make. I work with aliens all the time. I clear their energy. I bring the positive ones in. That's nutty. But I don't then go, therefore, anything. There's nothing after that. It's just the thing that happens.
It just is. It's the thing. Yeah, we extrapolate. So yeah.
Yeah, extrapolation is a problem. In one of the systems of study I studied and then left because they were crazy, they said some good shit, though. I've talked about this before, but they talked about conclusions, like coming to any conclusion is really like you necessarily create limitation when you come to any conclusion. Like if you lock something into a point of view and you can't live with that thing as a question, then you're actually not in reality, is what they would argue, because anything you lock into this is truth and can't change. Actually, everything is in flux and can change and does change. So you're deluded if you think you can solidly say anything.
Right.
Which you can use that logic to manipulate people very easily, which is what that system did. And that's why I left. They're assholes, frankly. But you can also use it to liberate yourself from a lot of stuck, you know, judgments and points of view, which can be very helpful, as long as you don't take it to a crazy extreme, which of course everybody ends up taking it to a crazy extreme. And that's
why it takes us back to the idea of like, what do you do? What is your action? What have you done? As opposed to, you know, what is your motivation or whatever? No, but what do you do with that shit? You know, you
use it.
Like I am in judgment of this shamanic dude, but my judgment is a little bit like, oh shit, this motherfucker gets into people's energy. And if he gets into your energy, that's fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's or is he using it to seduce women into compromising situations? Or, you know, I'm making a lot of leaps here, but I'm like looking at him and going like, oh yeah, he's doing shit. Like with that, he's using his, if he has, quote, powers, he's not using them for good. Or maybe he is 60% of the time. I don't fucking know.
Yeah. I don't know.
But that's like, what do you do with it? Anything we have, what do we do with it? Same with technology. Like technology isn't inherently good or bad, but we assume it's inherently good. And that's not true.
No. And a lot of people like me assume it's inherently bad.
Right.
And that's not
true. Also not true.
Yeah. It's about how we employ it, which is another thing I'm really interested in Bill Gates for, because he's got such great altruistic, philanthropic ideas of what to do with that, and that he's already employing technology.
Well, and he is the target of some of the most specific, like, yeah. No, he's doing it so that he can implant trackers in your blood.
God, I don't know.
That's what all of his inoculation stuff has to do with. It's all about putting trackers in your blood. That is a very active conspiracy theory out there.
Trackers in your blood. Yeah.
With nanotechnology.
Right. I mean, okay, let's just for a second.
I'm sorry, but everybody who is saying that carries a goddamn phone with them. You've given up your option to not be tracked.
That's a good point. Yep. Yep. We're all being tracked anyway.
Yeah. Get over that or throw away your phone before you start saying, I won't take that inoculation because I don't want Bill Gates to track me. That's what he's tracking.
Bill Gates. How did poor Bill Gates? He's so not the guy. Like, if that's happening, I promise it's not Bill Gates. Like, listen to any single interview with him. And 5 minutes in, if you have half a brain, you can clearly tell Bill Gates is not that guy. He's just not that guy. There might be, I'm even willing to say there might be a guy. It's not that guy.
But it's not that guy. All right.
It can't be.
I have to interrupt because we have to decide what we want to do if we want to go into the records today. And I have to pee really badly.
Okay, good. I just was pulling the prayer up because I think we are going to go in the records all of a sudden now.
Okay.
So why don't you pee? Yeah.
Well,
we'll miss you. Don't go. Okay.
All right.
You know what we could do is we could bring a healing through for everybody.
Sure.
Yeah, we could see just like, we can ask an open-ended question of like, hey, what does the world need right now? And see what we can do to contribute to, like, my aim would be something like to contribute to the lessening of the polarization. Like
another one of those. We kind of had that a few weeks ago, and we can do another version of that.
Well, that was about clearing the pain in the collective, or clearing all separation in the collective. Fuck. Yeah. That was hardcore.
That was intense.
I don't know if I can do that again now.
No, I don't think you need it. Maybe, but I could.
But we could bring something light through, something light and healing. But do you have questions?
Well, my question, which we never really got into that conversation, so it's a little off topic, and maybe it's a future one, but it did have to do with
what?
Just like what is next as a, I want to say, like, how do I engage with my creative professional self going forward? Like, what does that look like? Or
haven't you been interested in writing lately?
Yeah, there's been a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And so, I mean, it's more just like out of straight up curiosity, trying to use the tools. Like, oh, I could get some advice from the record keepers. It's pretty lightweight.
What about framing it like, here's something that I know for myself, and something I teach in my little world that I teach in, is that there is what you would like to do, and then there is your soul's work.
Right.
There's like what you're actually doing, whether you're, and so we can get on board with that, or we can be like, I'm just going to spend my life trying to figure out what I want to do.
Right.
Which, even making a distinction between it kind of feels like I'm splitting the self from the divine, and we're trying to merge the self and the divine. But I do tend to have the experience and the awareness that there is, the soul is up to something, and each individual soul is up to something specific. And it can be as simple as like, I came back this time to know myself, to experience love, to serve the community. And it's usually some kind of like broader, more principled idea like that. It's not usually like, you're going to be an actor who also serves wine at restaurants.
Right.
Yeah.
I think what you just brought up is, I think, an amazing and awesome whole topic for an episode that I think we should absolutely engage with. But about just like, you know, talking about one's soul's purpose versus what one wants to do. I think that is a fantastic episode that we should actually table. So, and then like use that framing. I do feel like just out of just as a person who makes a podcast, that we should figure out a way to enter into it in some way that's relevant to what we've been discussing today. You know, like let the records talk about some aspect of the sort of theme of today's episode.
And I have a feeling that it might be an energy that wants to be contributed. Yeah. So we'll see. All right.
So maybe we just let the record keepers tell us what we need to hear today.
Yeah, I think that's
it's a broader question.
I'm just sitting with whose records we're opening. So the collective, no. Cassidy, me, Desmond, that reads America, no. Well, let's start with us and we'll see what happens. Okay, so we'll take a couple breaths. We'll close the eyes and we'll just drop into our low bellies and get present to this moment. Let's feel the bottoms of our feet flat on the ground, relaxing the full weight of the body into the chair, allowing the chair to hold you up, giving up the need to control too much of your body and your reality, and just really relaxing and releasing into this chair and this moment and this breath. We're going to visualize at the bottom of each of our feet, a little foot chakra, opening and spinning, opening and spinning, opening and spinning, until the entire surface area of the bottom of each foot is an open field of energy, or like an open window, allowing the electromagnetic field of our bodies to connect with the electromagnetic field of the earth. We're going to visualize 500 energetic roots or extensions of our individual essences extending from each foot hundreds of miles into the planet now. 500 roots from your left foot and 500 roots from your right foot, down and down like tree roots growing in every direction, hundreds of miles down into the earth. I mean, and we're going to ask or intend that those roots extend down to the portion of the earth that each of our individual souls connects with most deeply. Yes. Good. We're going to see now as that process continues a grounding cord extending from the root chakra to the center of the earth. We're going to say that it's about a foot and a half wide open, big wide open root or tunnel or tube. Just visualize it shooting to the center of the earth. And the moment it hits the center of the earth, which it does so instantaneously, it begins to receive from the earth itself. We're going to align with the idea that the earth has a soul, Sophia Gaia, and she contributes healing energy up right now through our grounding cord into our root, forward flowing into each hip, down through the quads and the hamstrings, the knees and the calves, the shins and the ankles, and into those roots that we just extended down into the ground moments ago. I mean, allowing your low belly to be open and the genital area where your genitals meet the chair that you're sitting in, allowing that area to be open energetically so it can receive. This is the first and the second chakras. Very important to be open there so the earth can support us in our survival and our creativity. Okay. And I'm just sitting with, is it in this group's highest good for us to pull the balloons? No, we're going to go right to the prayer from here. And so keeping your awareness on the heart chakra, feeling into the center of your heart, and keeping a simultaneous awareness of those roots we just created, we do acknowledge from here the forces of light, asking for guidance, direction, and courage to know the truth as it is revealed for our highest good and the highest good of everyone connected to us. Holy Spirit of the divine, of God, please protect me from all forms of self-centeredness and direct my attention to the work at hand. Help me to know Cassidy Brown, Desmond McNeese, and myself in the light of the Akashic records, to see Cassidy Brown, Desmond McNeese, and myself through the eyes of the Lords of the records, and enable me to share the wisdom and compassion that the masters, teachers, and loved ones of all three of us have for all three of us. Okay. So we're just asking the Lords, Masters, and Teachers of the Akashic Records of all three of us today, a group of us, this little mini collective here. I ask that you deepen each of us individually into our own records and into the group collective records of the three of us. Oof. And so we're just looking today. I'm going to speak to the Lords, Masters, and Teachers, the Akashic Records of the three of us here. of this collective for any wisdom, teachings, healings, or information you might have for us about anything we've been discussing today, what's happening in the world, fear, when do you speak up, when are you quiet, conspiracy theories, or anything else. And so feeling each of us now, feeling into the back of your neck and the brain stem where the brain connects to the spinal column through the neck. And just practice receiving, open and receive. We're bringing healing energy through. Anybody listening can receive this as well. Doing a lot of clearing in the throat area. Feel into the middle and or the front of your throat. And as you continue to feel into your throat, get present as well, if you can, to the back of your heart, the center of the chest, but all the way toward the back, toward the spine. Just feeling into that area. We're going to bring some light there too. And finding now the connection between the back of the heart and the throat, and seeing it like a tunnel that runs from the back of the heart to the center of your body, up through the throat and out the crown, and see a bunch of heavy, sticky, stuck energy leaving through the top of your head, out through that pipeline. Oh, la. And it's, let's say that it's like dense and thick and heavy, and it, as it leaves, it turns into just like light, white flecks of light, releasing out through the top of your head. What have you been unwilling to say that needs to be said? What have you been unwilling to feel that needs to be felt? What have you been unwilling to face that needs to be faced? The truth will out. It always will. Honesty is the best policy. Integrity ultimately is necessary. You can't get around it. People pleasing leaves you out of the equation. Stay with your throat and allow whatever's there to release through the top of your head. You can't get what you need until you ask for what you need of the people who have it. Feel into your throat. Remember, as we pull through each of you, the fears that drive your people-pleasing codependent behaviors out of your body and out of your programming and replace it with light, that each time you choose from faith, faith in you deserve what works for you, you deserve to have needs and boundaries. When you choose from there, you create more of what you're desiring to have. Each time you choose from fear, you create more fear. Each time you choose from fear, you disempower yourself a little bit more. And it can seem like it makes things easier, and it does in the short term. But in the long term, it disempowers you and devoices you. And so you should be feeling a bit more peace in your body now. More flow, more lightness, less constriction and contraction, hopefully. And if you don't yet, you will later. As for what's happening in the world, let us bring through some peace. Peace to soothe the heated waters of the hearts of humanity, and not a peace that causes the voice to vanish into the darkness or to the background, but a peace that allows the issues at hand to be addressed from a peaceful place. Yes. Okay. And so we're calling on the Lords, Masters, and Teachers of our collective Akashic Records. Yep. And any and all star beings, you're welcome, who desire to contribute to bringing peace to this planet and to the two sides, the two polarized sides of humanity's heart right now. We're asking for... any and all light contribution to soften the polarities and the separations between human hearts and to reunify human hearts. We're asking for the softening of the warlike edges in the collective consciousness and a strengthening of the healthy masculine energy, a bringing forward of the healthy, integrated, holistic masculine energy within all people, such that when strength is required, strength is available. We wish to articulate that in your dualistic three-dimensional reality, there are masculine and feminine energies that operate like two poles at the sides of a battery. And when they're spinning correctly together in correct relation to one another, they blur the edges of the two poles into a non-binary energetic frequency, turning the battery, if you will, into a non-polarized, non-gendered, non-two-sided energetic stream of light and consciousness, such that the purpose of these polarized energies, it has a purpose. It's that when they operate together and spin together in each other's, like if you think of the masculine pole as one side of the DNA strand and the feminine pole as another side of the DNA strand, they spin together and the DNA becomes neither masculine nor feminine. It becomes oneness, oneness, the space of peace and integration and wholeness, ease, fluidity, receptivity, communal connection, connectivity, filial, familial, agape love. This has been a contribution from the Arcturians, who struggled with some similar energies as Earth is working through now. And they offer us the reminder of hope that love can be the central animating force on a planet. It is for us, they say. It can be for you as well, if you so choose. And those of you willing, able, and desirous of facilitating the continued and increasing flow of love into and on and through your planet are blessed many times over for being energetic contributions to same. So when you are inclined to polarize within yourself, find whatever portals of light you have that connect you to love and notice the edges of your polarization softening, which then allows you to function as a carrier of the love, which then inspires the people around you to carry more love and to find the light within them that softens the edges of polarization within them. And on it travels until the planet wakes up. Yes, it is an extreme and an idyllic vision, but your population's survival and thrival depends on you believing in this idyllic vision. You've grown so cynical, so many of you, and understandably so. You've been trying to survive in a world that moves way too quickly for its own good, and so you've hardened your hearts. We offer this transmission of love as a reminder that we did it. We depolarized. We became one collectively. It is possible. I mean, all right. So they're sort of like, does anyone have any questions? The healing is complete for now. Does anyone want to throw anything in the hopper, as it were? Cassidy?
I'm just thinking through that. I don't have any exact thoughts coherent yet.
Let's look at this creative question for just a moment. I just have, they're wanting to honor that.
Okay.
It's like, so what is the shape going forward? Because here's the thing. Each of you understanding your soul's purpose, if you will, which can be such a weighty phrase in your reality, but each of you understanding what you came here to do is a part of the infusing of the world and humanity with this love we speak of. If everyone knew what they were doing, there would be less friction and less need for battle. Furthermore, if everyone were willing to surrender to what their soul came here to do, soul qualities, remember, are always of the higher vibrational frequencies. They include energies like peace, mercy, justice, freedom, love, oneness, equality, equanimity, etc. So if you're following your soul's purpose, you're necessarily living from those energies and therefore bringing those qualities to the earth. So let's hear what they have to say for Cassidy Jamal Brown, if anything at all, about his future creative expressions. Okay. This has been a time for you, Cassidy, of like a softening and an expansion of your heart's energy, which necessarily, as it's been softening your heart, these changes, this slowing down, this staying home, it allows for the softening of the heart. As the heart has softened, it has opened you to new understandings of different avenues of possibility for fulfillment, which is to say, it's forced you to explore other stuff and try other things and see what else might be satisfying, not permanently or only, but in addition, which is to say, our desire for you as your team of soul guiding angels and record keepers has been for the contracted aspects of your personality and ego to become the opposite of contracted, expanded, released, and receptive, such that in the future, because we wish to encourage you and support you in trusting, there will be your favorite forms of expression will be available again. Okay. And the dream would be that as you're living into those energies and pursuing those pursuits, because you will again, that you be more open in the future to other forms of fulfillment surprising you and arising from left field, as it were. You might love crocheting. We offer as a silly example, but an example no less. You might love it. It might fill your heart between acting jobs. You might love, what's that called? Cross-country skiing. And it might fill your heart between acting jobs. You might go cross-country skiing and meet someone who offers you an acting job. So this is about the images, like they show me like the tight fabric of your heart being pulled apart into a loose fabric that is more open and receptive to possibility, options, fun, fulfillment in other ways without giving up that which you enjoy so much. And lastly, remember that as you give up the desperate clinging to the outcomes you desire, as you give up the have to have the job energy, that doesn't mean you don't get the job. It means you're liberated from the have to have. You're open still, but you're not suffering as you pursue your desires. Does this make sense?
Yeah, that's definitely in line with the shifting I have felt within myself away from the have to have.
Yeah.
And really being grateful for that. But then finding the next piece of that, which is where does the drive or passion come from? If not from fear, if not from panic, if not from clinging.
Mm.
And I know that obviously there are better forms of striving than passion, than clinging and fear and panic.
Well, so
that's the next step. Comes is what you're saying. Yeah.
Is desire. And desire is innately and necessarily connected with authenticity. Mm. And this has been a piece for you that is detangling in this time. You're finding a more authentic connection to self, which allows authentic desire to arise. The trick will be not to judge the new forms as being lesser or not cool or not good enough. Desire and authenticity are best friends. You can't have one without the other. That was good for me to hear. Okay, so.
Just a quick question, and much more. Is there some sort of camera or media work asked for, like film, television, whether it's creating my own or finding projects to be involved in? That's what's in my head a lot lately. And I think.
Well, the question is, do you desire to pursue that?
Yeah.
Okay, so desire and authenticity. If you authentically desire it, pursue it. Do you understand?
Yeah, because it's the thing I've talked myself out of the most.
Yep. And what have been your reasons for talking yourself out of it?
I'm in the wrong place. I'm too old to start. They don't need another white guy. I'm not interesting enough to start now. I don't have anything to say. That's talking myself out of the creation part.
Yeah. You know, and how many dads and lawyers and surfers and 50-year-old tech software sales characters are there constantly in that field?
Yeah. And do I want those is the other question. Yeah.
Like, well, yes, you do. You desire it.
I do. You're right. You're
right. Yeah. Don't.
That just sounds fun. That just sounds fun, frankly. Exactly. That's a big part of it.
That's desire.
That shit sounds fun to me.
Desire. What sounds fun is what you desire.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So when you go into that theoretical place in your mind, remember that's your mind. Oh, do I really want that? Is that beneath me? That's judgment.
Yeah.
Which blocks you from being connected to your authentic desire. Authentic desire for you comes from in the body, the heart and the belly and the low pelvis, not the mind. Mm-hmm. Follow what you find fun and satisfying, always. Desire, too, will give you the engine to follow through with the steps that are necessary to take. If there's no desire, you'll lose motivation. But you can easily talk yourself out of your desire. That'll kill motivation, too. That one you have control over. Don't do that. Okay, we're going to close the records now.
Okay.
I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for their love and compassion, the lords of the records for their point of view, and the Holy Spirit of light for all knowledge and healing. I ask that you return Cassidy Jamal Brown and Desmond McNeese and myself to our complete human wholenesses. Return each of our energies back to ourselves now, please. I ask that you return Cassidy's energy to himself and Desmond's energy to himself and my energy to myself. The divine portal and the Akashic records for Cassidy Jamal Brown, Desmond McNeese, and myself are now closed. Amen. The divine portal and the Akashic records for the three of us here today are now closed. Amen. Divine portal and the Akashic records for the three of us gathered today on the podcast, Desmond, Cassidy, and myself are now closed. Amen. 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 Oof, I am still spacey. Okay. Ooh, thank you guys. I hope that was as lightening and levity bringing for you as it was for me.
Good. I was just reflecting on what a sort of calico patchwork grab bag today's episode is, you know, it's just no judgment on that. I was very aware of like this topic, this thing, this other thing, this topic, this idea, you know, and I actually had trouble in the first part of the, once they were open, when they were transmitting information and wisdom, I had trouble staying listening. I would start to take something in and it would take my brain away and I would go walk away on a path. And then I'd be like, oh, wait, they're still talking, or, you know, and I'd have to return and I'd have lost the thread. And that kept happening until you started talking about the masculine feminine spinning weave idea. And that like kept me, I was like, all the way in for the rest of, from then on, I was paying attention.
So
just
what are
aware
you,
of that? I was just aware of not paying attention.
What do you think it is that had you not paying attention?
Can I answer that?
Yeah.
It was the tar from my lungs that she was clearing, and Cassidy didn't need it as bad as I did.
Okay. So that was more for you. And I was like, oh, you go ahead and deal with it. That's interesting. So the first part of it was very connected to you.
Yes. Yeah,
I was really clear on that too, but I didn't want to say so to call you out. So yeah. Thank you for acknowledging that. I was like, this is all Desmond.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Fascinating. So that's why I was like, yeah, okay. But I also like try not to be in judgment of that space. Like I would catch myself having walked away as I was describing it. And then I was like, well, A, I'm still hearing it on another level, so I didn't need to do it in the conscious mind. And B, that was the result of what came to me. So, you know, I don't have to be like, oh, you're bad. You didn't pay attention.
And my mind wandered during the masculine femininity thing. I would find myself like at one point, like I was literally like in a lake or a pond or something, like on a boat. Huh. And then Katie took a really long pause and I was just there. And then she came back and talking. I was like, whoop, out of the lake. And I also had one of the things I really, really noticed, and somewhere in the transition of topics, I got hit with this ball of energy on the back right of my head, like my brain almost. Like it was like getting hit with a water balloon of energy. I just felt it spread, like, and it didn't go all the way around my head, but it just really concentrated and spread about a third of the way around my brain and then just slowly dissipated. And it was really electric. It was very, very interesting.
You said it started where? At the back of your head?
The back right of my head.
And that started when during the process?
Like I would say somewhere during the transition where you cleared my lungs and Cassidy was getting involved in the masculine feminine portion of the, because I don't want to say I don't need that, but
it wasn't it's not your thing. It wasn't what was up for you.
Right. Yeah. And this whole experience for me was like, I've had a, you know, for lack of a better term, I've had a shitty 24 hours, nothing traumatic, but just, and I had a great therapy session at 11 today and that brought me down to earth. And I knew that this was going to expand on that grounding, and it 1,000% did. So
that's so great to hear. I had some of my own like codependent fear come up around like the very first thing that happened when we opened. It was like, oh, God damn it. I have to say this to Desmond again. He doesn't want to hear it. He's like, doesn't want to hear it, or I wouldn't have to say it again. So then I felt guilty. And then I was like, well, let's just let the energy do it. Yeah. And so I'm still glad that you're saying it so that I don't have to be the one to be like, so by the way,
that was for you.
That thing again.
We're going to get the plunger out and clear Tess back up.
Cool. Yeah. So magical how it works. There's so much too of what was coming through today that was like little bits of it would be like for all of us. And then little bits of it would be for one of us. And then it would resonate for all of us. And then it would be for one of us. And that was neat to watch.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah.
It's don't ever leave me for 2 weeks again. I can't do it.
It was
Katie,
hard.
I'm so sorry what you had to go through. You had more than an excuse to take a break, and thank you for sharing with us, and my heart's with you, and stay safe, stay smart.
Thank you. And let's just say prayers that it's actually over so that doesn't have to interrupt any of our flow anymore.
Yeah.
All right, guys, I got to hop off.
All right, let's talk soon, and I'll see you in a little bit, Katie, right?
Yes.
And give me that audio. I got to turn this bitch around.
You know why we got to send him that audio? So he can do the work.
Do your work.
Do my work.
What are you asking for? All of the answers. Say what? All of the answers. Yeah, all the answers.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @allanswerspod. Thank you.
That was a Sounds Awesome production.